Sorry, nerds. Chris Towers is sick today. You've got Scott White and Al Melchior, and I'm Adam Azer, and welcome to the show. Today we're talking busts, and Scott, thank you for filling in. You are a breakout.
Oh, my pleasure, Adam. I kind of missed the everyday podcast thing. I mean, there's reasons it wouldn't work given our current schedules, but it's kind of nice, at least for a week, to be plugged into the podcast world every day.
That's really nice to hear. I like that you guys like podcasting.
And I miss you, Adam.
I miss you, too. I'll see you in a couple weeks, buddy. That's true. I'll be down in Florida and we'll party. Okay, today we're talking busts. We are looking at some guys who have been disappointing. Scott does not have a list of busts because he did not know he was coming on the podcast until about a half hour ago. But Al and I do, and Scott can chime in, and I'm sure he can think of some off the top of his head. But also, there was so much that happened yesterday. Scott claimed Sean Doolittle instead of me. I put in a claim. Scott scooped him from me in a league. But there's a but tied to Sean Doolittle. So, well, of course there is. He's a human being. But we will talk about that a little bit later. First, guys, I want to play some Name That Player. Are you ready?
Oh, right off the bat.
Long overdue.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been a while. Okay, I am the number 13 outfielder in points leagues and number 7 in rotisserie. I am batting .320 with 4 home runs, 16 runs batted in, 32 runs and 11 steals. Also 8 doubles.
Wait.
I think I know 2. Oh, no, I don't.
I know.
Okay.
You do?
I think so. Nori Aoki.
Incorrect. In my last 9 games, I have an OPS over 1,200 and 5 steals.
I should know this because I saw – this is somebody who just got their 11th steal, right?
Maybe.
Aoki does have 11 steals and a surprisingly high. Is it Michael Brantley?
Next clue. My fake uncle Kevin was in The Usual Suspects.
Okay. Fake Uncle Kevin. I wish I knew who was in The Usual Suspects.
Me too, 'cause I'm like, okay.
Really?
Thinking of actors named Kevin.
Yeah, Kevin Spacey's the only one I'm coming up
Kevin
with.
Kevin Spacey was in The Usual Suspects.
Kevin Spacey was in The Usual Suspects?
Yes.
So it was a multi-Kevin film.
Yes, it was. And my fake great-grandfather, Jackson, was a famous painter.
Oh, A.J. Pollock.
There it is.
I got Pollock on that clue on our show, like I think last season.
Oh, okay. So I've used that Jackson one again. But I was trying to throw you guys off with the Kevin Spacey, Kevin Pollock, Usual Suspects reference.
And you did.
You guys didn't even know who was in The Usual Suspects. So that didn't work.
Yeah.
Well, I tell you, because I did remember seeing that Pollock got his 11th steal. So I was thinking, yeah, I saw something in the box scores from last night that somebody got their 11th steal. But I could have been here all day and never guessed Pollock because I figured he wasn't even playing enough to rank that high.
Well, right. That's the thing. You know, a week and a half ago, we got people complaining A.J. Pollock doesn't play enough. Now he's on absolute tear over his last 9 games, and he's a top 13 outfielder in points, and he's number 7 in roto.
Well, he still doesn't play enough. I mean, let's be clear here. Just imagine how high he'd rank if he was playing every day. Hopefully that begins to change with this stretch. He's on pace for 14 homers and 39 steals, and obviously the batting average is high, even with some lost at bats in there. So I'd say he's living up to our most optimistic projections coming into the season, and I would think he's more likely to gain playing time than lose it from here.
Here's your stat of the day. Alex Rodriguez broke Lou Gehrig's American League record for RBI. A-Rod now has 1,995 runs batted in. That makes him 1 RBI behind Barry Bonds, but well behind Hank Aaron, who has nearly 2,300 RBIs, the Major
Good
League
grief.
Record.
So,
well, A-Rod's just
distant
not,
first.
Yeah, yes, he is. A-Rod's just not slowing down, though. He's a top 7 third baseman, 7th in roto, 4th in points, 10 for his last 22 with that 3-run homer yesterday. I don't know what else to say. Actually, there is one thing I wanted to say about A-Rod that you might have read in the AP recap. This is something that I hadn't considered. He said that the year off was good for him, and he feels fresher now. So that's kind of an interesting little spin on things with Alex Rodriguez.
Yeah, it makes sense. I mean, we all were ready for him to break down this year. I think we were. I certainly was. But yeah, that year off apparently really did rejuvenate him.
Oh, I just feel like, I mean, I say buy low, sell high all the time, and it maybe gets a little tiresome. But I do feel like I'm still waiting. He's going to come back down to earth and sell high, sell high, sell high on A-Rod.
Yeah, no, I'd be inclined to sell high too, unless like I needed him at third base. But it's a pretty deep position, so it's very likely somebody has him as a utility option or on the bench. And maybe there's somebody out there who really needs a third baseman because they're starting somebody stupid, like... you know what? I don't even know who would be a stupid option that somebody would conceivably be starting
Chris,
in the mixed league.
Chris Davis, he did homer twice yesterday, and we're going to get to the multi-homer games.
I was about to say him, but he homered twice yesterday. So how's his owner feeling about him today? Probably pretty good.
No, I don't know. I mean, he's still not even a top 15 third baseman with the two-homer game. I could see it turning around. I'm sure you guys could as well. I'm just saying it's certainly conceivable that the Chris Davis owner is very unhappy right now and would want A-Rod.
He would have been unhappier yesterday.
He would have been. Okay, Alex Rodriguez or Josh Harrison, rest of season.
I'll go A-Rod.
I think I'm still going Harrison there, but it's a close call.
Here's our tweet of the day from Lone Wolf. Who would you rather have in a points league rest of the season? Steven Vogt or Jonathan Lucroy?
Lucroy.
Yes, Lucroy.
Who would you rather have in FanDuel today? Steven Vogt or Lucroy?
I'm guessing neither may be on the very limited nighttime slate.
No, that Vogt is. Vogt is. He is facing Sabathia. Oh, yeah. Catcher is tough today in FanDuel, and we'll break it down for you a little bit later in the show. Get on FanDuel.
Probably neither because Sabathia is facing the A's today, so Vogt may very well not play.
Yeah, and he's pretty expensive too. I think he's the second most expensive behind Posey. FanDuel, if you haven't tried it, you got to try it. FanDuel's changing the way people play fantasy sports. One day fantasy, no season long commitment. Entry fees start at just $1, so don't wait 6 months to try and win a league. Play today, win tonight. There are daily games. You don't have to deal with your best player being on the DL. You can find out who's in the lineup and who's out of the lineup, and you can make smart roster moves and get the good bargains, and obviously we'll help you do that, by the way, on Daily Fantasy Live at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. But if you want to save some money or actually get a little bit of a bonus, go to FanDuel.com and click on the microphone in the upper right corner and use our offer code CBSPOD. Sign up now. Use that offer code CBSPOD on FanDuel.com. They're going to match your deposit dollar for dollar up to $200. It gets earned as you play. So let's talk Wednesday standouts here. And we do have a full show, and we will, of course, talk about some busts. But let's bring up Noah Syndergaard. And give me your thoughts on Noah Syndergaard, who was dazzling yesterday with 7 1/3 scoreless innings, no walks, 6 strikeouts against the horrid Phillies.
You absolutely cannot keep his bat out of the lineup.
Yes, and a monster home run.
And went 3 for 3.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was, if it wasn't quite dead center, it was a little to the opposite field and it went over 400 feet. So it was an impressive shot from a pitcher for sure.
Absolutely.
16 Ks to 1 walk and 19 1/3 innings in his last 3 starts. I mean, this guy's good. That's my take on Syndergaard.
And he's been far better than I expected, to be honest. I figured he would struggle much more than this initially. But maybe it's something with the Mets. Everybody thought that with DeGrom. I thought that with Harvey.
Yeah.
So, these guys are ready when they come up.
Let me be the ants at the picnic who are on the wet blanket for a second here.
Is that like tilting the windmill? I haven't,
No.
That sounds a little more contrived.
Well, ants at a picnic on a wet blanket. It's just a combination of two annoying things.
Okay.
Syndergaard has had, when you look at, I mean, you know, if we, you watch the start against the Cubs, a lot of people watched it. It was his first start against the Cubs, and it was very good for 5 innings, and then the final line looked pretty bad. Or, you know, certainly below average. And he had a, I think, 6 innings, 3 run start, a decent start against the Pirates. And he's had two awesome starts, but they've come against Milwaukee and Philadelphia, two of the lowest scoring teams in baseball. He seems to be more or less a two-pitch pitcher. He's got, well, two types of fastballs and a curveball. So maybe you consider that three pitches, but you'd like to see him work his changeup in more. He really doesn't throw his changeup a lot. He's basically fastball, curveball. I'm wondering if the two starts against the Phillies and the Brewers, again, two of the worst lineups in baseball, two of the six worst, are possibly inflating Syndergaard's value, and maybe he really isn't that good.
I think there is some truth to that. Like I said, I expected him to struggle a little bit more. The one thing I think that could hurt him is a little bit of a tendency towards fly balls, which he hasn't really paid for yet. And those are teams that probably aren't going to make him pay for it. In terms of the arsenal, I mean, he's not really that fastball dependent. I mean, compared to certainly a lot of other pitchers. So, and I'm looking here, on FanGraphs, and looks like he's throwing, you know, the two different fastballs about 60, 65% of the time.
And his curveball is incredible. But his changeup is a work in progress.
Yeah,
I don't know how long you can get away with that. All right, so you guys are saying you're buying it. You like Syndergaard, no worries at all.
I'm looking at my rankings here. I would say after yesterday's start, he's going to be in my top 40. So not to exaggerate, we're not saying he's top 20, but top 40. I can't imagine right now sitting him, even in a one-start week. I guess I can imagine it, but I don't think I would do it.
Okay. How about Josh Donaldson? I only bring up Josh Donaldson because he's obviously having an amazing year. He's a bona fide MVP candidate right now, but he hasn't been this good. You know, he's putting together both batting average and power. Do you see regression coming for Donaldson?
Not much. I mean, probably some because he is playing at an amazing level, but when you looked at what he did away from Oakland as a member of the A's, and you figured going to Toronto, he was likely to have a career year. So I think this is largely legit.
10 of his 13 home runs have come at home.
Yeah, and a 375 batting average in Toronto.
We talked about it coming into the season, and I think Al put a little more stock in it than I did because, you know, I wasn't willing to consider Donaldson in the first round. I wish I had put a little more stock into it, and that's something I may do going forward when a hitter does go from a clear pitcher's park to a clear hitter's park.
And Scott, Sean Doolittle, you picked him up in a roto league. I tried to pick him up too, and I watched his outing yesterday. He struck out two guys, but man, that velocity is way down. Now, I'm not criticizing you for picking him up. Obviously, it makes sense. But yeah. I want to know what you guys think about that. He's down, he was throwing like high 80s. I think his average fastball was about 90 miles per hour yesterday. And
it's like five or six down.
Yeah.
And torn rotator cuff is what he's coming back from without any kind of surgery. I'm not counting on much, to be honest. I'm not.
I'm not either.
I'm not ruling out him surprising with that velocity. I'm not ruling out him regaining velocity in over the next few appearances, but I am not anticipating this ending well. And if it was a scenario where it was him or somebody like Sean Tolleson on waivers, I might go the Tolleson route instead.
And of course, Doolittle did not pitch the ninth inning yesterday, but they're easing him back into the closer's role. But they have a perfectly good option, as Scott was saying, I think it was yesterday.
They probably need him at first base right now more than they need him in the bullpen.
Hey, Mike Fiers. If we take a look at the numbers on Mike Fiers, he's 69% owned, and he's not pitching deep into games. Now, yesterday he was pitching on 3 days rest, but in Fiers' last four starts, he's 0-1 with a 3.27 ERA, but three walks, 21 strikeouts in 22 innings, 26 hits, but only one home run and a 3.62 BABIP. Are you guys seeing progress, sorry, I got distracted because you're laughing at me. Why are you laughing at me? Because I said baby?
No, I wasn't. Don't be so self-conscious, Adam. I wasn't laughing at you.
You're
laughing at the ridiculousness of Fiers' performance this season, because it's like the complete opposite of what at least I was expecting it to be, in that he's giving up a lot of hits, but not a lot of home runs. He's not pitching great, but he's not pitching poorly either. Like that's the thing. That's the reason I can't get off him, because the bad fires is somebody who gives up 6 earned runs in 2 innings. You know, it's not 2 earned runs in 5 innings. And I mean, I don't think he's startable right now. You mentioned he's not pitching deep into games. Twice this year, he's gone 6 innings in 10 starts. And that's just 6 innings.
Yeah,
you know?
Awful.
Yeah. But at the same time, he's not getting crushed, and we know how good he can be. So I'm just kind of content to let him sit on my bench for now.
Right. Well, I just saw, hey, 69% owned. And when you look at the other pitchers that went yesterday that are in the same area of ownership as Fires, you're talking Colby Lewis, Mike Leake, and Chris Young. Right. It's not even close.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's pretty ridiculous. Yeah. And in a roto league, I can understand in a points league, those innings totals are really going to hurt you, especially in one start weeks. But in a roto league, he's giving you so many strikeouts, even in the limited innings. Mm-hmm. I think you could start him in a one start week.
Hey, Scott, how you feeling about Ubaldo Jimenez, big man?
not as good as I felt at other times.
He pitched out of jams yesterday. He gave up 10 hits and only 3 runs, 4 runs in 7 innings. Wasn't a terrible start, but only 5 strikeouts against Houston. That's coming off a bad start at Miami last time out. More on him a little bit later. We got an awesome show today. I feel like I'm hosting Saturday Night Live. We got a great show for you tonight.
Isn't it half over at this point?
No, not quite.
Way to hype the show.
17 minutes.
Okay.
Keeping people engaged.
We did the opening monologue, and now we get into the crux of the show. Big news.
Who's the musical guest?
Oh, we got Al Melchior and Scott White, musical guests tonight. What are you going to be performing for us, fellas?
Valerie by Steve Winwood.
Excellent. So the Mets could use a 6-man rotation until, are you sitting down? Get ready for this. Until August! Mid-August with a 6-man rotation. We'll see about that. Matt Adams is out 3 to 4 months with a quad injury. Mark Reynolds going to get the bulk of the at-bats at first base for the Cardinals. Scott Kazmir left yesterday's start with shoulder tightness, and he may go on the DL. Jacoby Ellsbury may not be back within a month. Joe Girardi was like, I don't know if we'll get him back in a month. Sonny Gray expects to make his Friday start despite a sore ankle. And Delino DeShields played second base, and he led off yesterday. Did go 0-for-4 with a strikeout, but they got both Martin and DeShields in the lineup. And there you go.
Now, Scott and I both just kind of snickered.
What?
I snickered because...
My Joe Girardi impression?
Yeah, I was going to say, that was fairly convincing.
I only read the quote. I didn't even hear him say it, but he doesn't know if... Joe Girardi has a nickname, like a terrible nickname for everyone. He probably call him like Elsie. Like, yeah,
yeah.
Guardy, and everybody's got like a Y at the end of their name.
Who's the pitcher they just recently called up the prospect? I'm blanking on the guy's name.
Jacob Lindgren?
Yeah.
Jacob Lindgren?
I'm calling him Lindy.
Lindgren, whatever. Yeah.
Hey,
all right.
I want to...
Go ahead, Scott.
Should we talk about the 6-man rotation thing for the Mets? Because, I mean, we're just talking about how valuable Syndergaard is. Does this mean he's not getting any 2-start weeks till August? Or not many?
You know, it's weird, Scott. It's like, the 6-man rotation sounds bad in that regard. But when they talk about it and they're saying their goal is to just eliminate 3 starts from these pitchers, extend the rotation so that it eliminates 3 starts based on if they were on a 5-man rotation, it doesn't sound quite as bad. You know what I mean?
Like, but those 3 starts are the 3 2-star weeks, I'm guessing, that they'd be getting if it was a 5-man rotation.
But I do view Harvey DeGrom and now Syndergaard as must-start options. Obviously, it'd be better to get more points from them in those weeks, but it's not going to change my sit start decisions for them, and it's frankly probably not going to change my sit start decisions for G Nice or Cologne either, because I'm probably not using them in 2-start weeks.
Well, it may not change my start sit decisions, but like, should you explore trading them?
I'm 100% going to explore trading Matt Harvey if he has a good start on Friday. And they say he looks good. And the thing is, I'm only trading him for like a stud. You know, I'm not trading him for Strasburg or anything like that. But I worry about Harvey's effectiveness in September. And yeah, I think the six man rotation, like if you can get an equivalent pitcher who's going to get more starts, then why not?
That would be the key. I mean, you don't want to, it's not like you should make a panic move here and unload them before someone discovers that they're never going to get a two-star week, or at least won't for a couple months here. But yeah, if it's equivalent, I think we were talked a little about this the other day, and I said Harvey for David Price it's a conceivable deal because Price hasn't exactly been ace-like. He's been good.
Unfortunately, he had an awesome start right after he said that.
Yeah, and so I'm trying to think of maybe Bumgarner, but.
But what about like Hamels? What about Hamels?
I think I could do Hamels for Harvey for Hamels. I think I could do that. It's not, because I think it's clear Harvey is more dominant on a start to start basis than Hamels, but obviously Hamels is no slouch. I could see doing that. That might be the line for me though, which is probably about where I have Harvey ranked anyway, so.
Hey, by the way, guys, is Jacob DeGrom better than Matt Harvey?
No, but he's not less than him by much.
Okay. Let's talk busts. Al, who you got? So here's the point of this. It's not like these guys are terrible and they're going to remain terrible. It's these guys have been busts. Let's predict the future. Al, give me some busts.
All right. Well, I'm going to start with a couple of pitchers that I included in a column that I wrote yesterday. So, you know, it was convenient. Anibal Sanchez, clearly a bust.
Yeah.
ERA up over 6, giving up home runs left and right and center. And I don't really see very many positive signs here. I guess if you're looking for positive signs, it's that everything else about him looks pretty normal. The velocity isn't down. He is getting strikeouts. The control is not bad at all, but none of that really matters because it's not getting him good results. And, yeah, I mean, I don't see any end in sight to the, you know, the fly ball rate has increased by, I think, close to 50 percentage points, which is very drastic.
So you don't think Sanchez is definitely going to turn it around, you know, in a big way?
No, I don't think he's definitely going to turn around. I'll put it this way. I'm not ready to drop him yet, but I don't think I would be ready to drop any pitcher of that caliber long term.
Right.
After a little less than 2 months, you know, maybe 2-3 weeks from now, I'll say something different. But, there's no way I could start him.
Other busts.
Okay. Well, Phil Hughes. Definitely higher on the drop-o-meter.
Oh, yeah.
And for him, his velocity is down. And I think that's probably got a lot to do with his problems because the control is still great for him. The home runs are back, but he's just been allowing a lot more contact. So I think it's more that than just last year necessarily being a mirage. I think if he threw harder and missed more bats, you'd probably see a better home run rate and just obviously better results overall.
Would you drop Phil Hughes for Mike Fiers?
Boy, that's tough. Cause I certainly would prefer vastly to use Fiers right now. But would I drop Hughes? 10-team league, I would.
Okay.
10-team mixed.
All right. Anybody else? Let's go. Keep going.
All right. How about Billy Hamilton?
Ah, he was one of mine. I love it.
All right.
Well, yeah. Now here's what I wanted to say about Hamilton. So first of all, he can't hit righties. He couldn't hit righties that well last year and he's batting .202 against them. And, it's moving down in the order that is just crushing him. If he doesn't reclaim the top spot in the order, then he's going to be pretty bad. Right now, Hamilton's only the 23rd best. Well, he's 23rd best outfielder in Roto. He's 32nd in points. Now, for how bad he's been, that's really not so bad. But so much of that, I think, was the run scored when he was leading off. Batting eighth or ninth, he has one run scored in 8 games. So if Hamilton doesn't start hitting toward the top of the order, then I think there are some serious concerns, even with his 18 steals.
Yeah, the steals certainly have a lot to do with that, too. But I think you're right. If he's not scoring runs, you're going to see him drop in the rankings pretty
soon. Then he's a one-category guy. But he's a better hitter than this, right? I mean, Hamilton's batting .221.
Yeah, I do think he's a better hitter than this. I think of you know, the bust that I'm naming, he's the one I've got the most hope for, because his strikeout rate isn't really much different than last year, and a guy that fast should be able to hit for, I would think, at least an average BABIP, and he's far below average so far. Not hitting, with as much authority, but, you know, I think that that could improve as well.
The strikeout rate isn't worse than last year, but he hit 250 last year. He got on base at 292 clip.
Okay.
That's bad.
But listen,
yeah, but if he repeated that, would we call him a bust?
And even with that, Scott, even with that horrible batting average, he still was a top 20 outfielder in Roto. And wasn't terrible in points. Like, he was better than you would have thought.
Yeah, I mean, I just could see a point where the Reds shy away from him.
Yeah, well, I mean, they've taken the first step in that process, right? Batting him eighth and ninth. The thing is, though, Cozart was batting leadoff, and that didn't work out. And I think Schumacher batted leadoff yesterday. So it's not like they have a great option there.
Yeah, that's why I do hold out hope, because I think if he does get more hits on balls and play, the batting average goes up. The other leadoff options aren't very good. And with a hot streak, I think he could fully restore his value. Get back to the top of the order, improve the batting average, get more steal opportunities, score more runs.
Let me go right into another guy that I have as a bust so far. Gregory Polanco. Because same situation here. They moved him out of the leadoff spot, and Josh Harrison is batting leadoff now. And Polanco has been sitting a little bit lately. He's batting 182 with no extra base hits in 22 at-bats against lefties. Are you concerned about Polanco, who's not even a top 40 outfielder right now? And unfortunately, his slash line looks very similar to what it was last year, which wasn't very good.
I'm concerned about Polanco in like a different way from Hamilton. I think Polanco is a better player than Hamilton, and I think he still has a bright future in the majors. But the Pirates do have a lot of alternatives, in both the majors and the minors. You know, it'd be easy to move Harrison to the outfield and get Gongen every day at third base. Josh Bell's making some noise in the minors. They have a couple other players in the minors. Eventually, Andrew Lambeau is going to come off the DL, and they were talking at the beginning of the season like they wanted to give him at-bats. So I could see a scenario where Polanco gets sent down. But I'm not anywhere close to dropping him or Hamilton, obviously. And if it was like a long-term situation, I'd still prefer Polanco to Hamilton.
Yeah, I have really big concerns about Polanco, because his approach to the plate is just completely going in the wrong direction. He's hitting more grounders, but he's pulling the ball far more often this year. So it's just a lot of ground ball outs, and he's striking out more too.
Well, with those two, well, you know what? Let's talk more busts here. I'll bring up Mookie Betts, who, you know, it's hard to call him a bust. I think it's mostly just this cold streak, but the last 15 games, he's batting .244. Which is better than his season average, but .233 on base, .259 slugging. He's done pretty much nothing. Betts is still the number 21 outfielder in points, but he's number 34 in Roto. So again, if they moved him down to the bottom of the order, it would probably have the same effect that it's having on Hamilton and, Polanco, but that hasn't happened yet.
Yeah.
Do you guys think he has a chance of can he start hitting, for goodness sake?
I think he can. The batting average has been down all year, but the strikeout rate has been as low as we've wanted to see it. Part of the reason we thought he would hit for such a high batting average. I think what he's going through right now is a combination of bad luck and pressing to live up to the hype, which was extreme coming into the season. He was getting Andrew McCutchen comparisons.
Right.
His fly ball rate is pretty high. So, you mean there could be a degree of trying to hit home runs in this equation. But in the meantime, he's still productive in fantasy, and I do expect him to overcome it eventually.
So with Betts, Polanco, and Billy Hamilton, who would you be most interested in buying low on?
Betts, if you could, if it's legitimately buy low, but I kind of feel like his owner's gonna be like, no, this guy's scoring points for me, or It might be easier to do in a roto league.
Yeah, definitely bets. And by the way, I mean, he's really not the only thing that's different between what he's done this year and last year, and he's had almost the same number of at bats and plate appearances as last year, is the BABIP. The power's the same. Okay, the walks are down, so that's me. That's the BABIP and the walks. He's striking out less. The power is almost identical.
Melky Cabrera is a huge bust, 84% owned. Is that too high, or should owners still hold out hope for Melky Cabrera?
He is plummeting in my rankings. The most recent update, I dropped him to 48th behind Shin-Soo Chu, Dexter Fowler, the injured Will Myers. That sounds like fringy ownership material to me. And if Georgia Maselli, longtime baseball fan, he edits. He's one of our editors. Every time he hears me say anything bad about Melky Cabrera, he's like, he doesn't perform well in cold weather. He'll pick it up as we get in the warmer months. And okay, so we're coming up on June. Maybe that'll change. But you know, there's not even any doubles. It'd be one thing if it was just home runs. He's just slapping the ball around, and that's, there's not enough there for me.
You know, the whole offense is really struggling for the White Sox. They're one of the lowest scoring teams in baseball. And I guess we've kind of seen in the last few years lineups that just collectively stink. Maybe they need a new hitting coach, or like the Royals last year. The whole team struggled hitting, and the Padres were obviously horrible, but like everybody on the Padres underachieved. You know, like, can you buy into that at all? That, like, it's a bad sign. You know, maybe it's just that team just can't hit.
I think there may be something to that. I also just think it's a lineup that going into the year looked like it had some pretty major holes in it.
But Cabrera wasn't supposed to be one of them.
No.
Eaton wasn't supposed to be one of them. Cabrera's the one who concerns me the most. And I don't know if it's wrong to say this, but I still don't entirely trust the good version was entirely authentic.
No, it's fair. Yeah. Other busts, guys?
I think we got to talk about Matt Kemp.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
In daily fantasy yesterday on FanDuel, he was 2,300, right, Scott? 2,300 for Kemp?
Yes.
In a very, very limited nighttime slate, and I could not bring myself to start him.
Ditto.
Even at price.
Ditto.
I just, there's nothing there this year. And I don't have an explanation for it, because it seemed like he was going to be in the clear after the second half last year just exploding. But now, you know, almost 2 months of very, very little power. And, you know, he had long, not long ceased, but he had ceased to really be a stolen base threat.
I mentioned this yesterday, but for those who weren't listening then, it's kind of just a theory, but I'm not sure he's completely healthy. And that was my concern going into last year too, that he would never be healthy again. But he made a comment recently about how he's trying to keep his ankles healthy by not running as hard. I think is essentially what he said, which, I don't know. That just kind of suggests to me he's not feeling right, combined with the poor production. Just would make sense.
More? Any more?
Let's see. Actually, no, that's all I got.
Okay. That works for me. There's plenty from Wednesday's games to get to. Twice is nice. Here are three guys who homered twice yesterday. Dustin Pedroia, who is the number 7 second baseman in points, number 11 in Roto. Chris Davis, who batted 268 with 5 home runs in April and is batting 171 with 5 home runs in May. And Lucas Duda, who is raking with 5 homers and 8 RBI in his last 6 games. Pedroia, Chris Davis, Lucas Duda. Any thoughts?
Well, you know, we talked about Davis earlier, and you know, Scott made the comment, you know, after a 2-home run game, his owners might feel better. For me, I'd feel better because that enhances my chances to trade him. That'd be my main interest at Chris Davis's point, because I found him, you know, very disappointing this year. I mean, the power to me isn't even any comfort, because we saw pretty decent power from him last year. He just strikes out far, far too often still.
Do you kind of feel like he's the guy, though, that depending on which streak you catch him in, you could be like much higher or much lower on him? Could he be basically, Chris Davis, could he be basically the streakiest player in baseball?
I hear what you're saying, and that's why I'm kind of reluctant to bury him, which is funny because I think I was the biggest downer of the three of us coming into the season. I wouldn't feel entirely comfortable with him as my starting third baseman in a points league. Roto league, I could probably live with it because of the home runs. But at the same time, I wouldn't be looking to dump him. I might do what Al was saying, and after the two-homer game, shop him. I could see doing that.
So, Dustin Pedroia, I just wanted to bring up something real quick here. Correct me if I'm wrong. He's been playing hurt each of the previous two seasons, right? Like very early injuries?
Yes.
So he basically has the same exact slash line as he had Pedroia. This is in 2012, his last healthy season. And that's a 290, 347, 449. That was his slash line in 2012. This year it's 290, 361, 448. So same average, slugging percentage is 1 point lower. And that made him the number 7 second baseman in fantasy in 2012. It's kind of cool. He seems to be back to at least that version of himself.
Yeah, and I started to worry he wasn't, because he hadn't homered since May 2nd when he hit his 5th of the year. And so I just wondered if I'd jumped the gun on him. But the batting average was steady throughout May. It was in the 290 range the whole month, and then bounced back with two home runs. So I was moving Robinson Cano down in my rankings at the last update. I stopped short of Pedroia. I think he's going to drop behind Pedroia now.
Ooh, wow. I'll take Cano.
Okay.
I mean, I get what you're saying, but don't you feel like I just kind of feel like Cano is going to hit 400 over 20 games soon? Because the batting average has to come up. I understand the power might be gone, but the batting average has to come up for Cano.
I'll agree with that, but I think Pedroia is just as capable of a hot streak like that, and you're going to, at this point, I do think Pedroia is going to give you more power.
By the way, that year, that 2012 year, Pedroia only hit 15 home runs.
Yeah, he's on a career-best home run pace right now.
Really?
He's got 7.
Oh, yeah, that is true. I was still thinking 5. Yeah.
Let's talk about some awesome pitching performances. Studs being studs with an exclamation point. And then we'll do studs being studs with a question mark.
Studs being studs.
Yeah.
Oh, there's two separate. Oh, I get it. Okay. So yeah. Studs being studs and studs being
Well,
studs.
Okay. The first one is four pitchers who have been studs who are having awesome years. Well, yeah. I guess that's not really true. It's mostly true. Felix Hernandez, complete game shutout at Tampa Bay. He is number 1 in points, number 2 in Roto. Chris Archer, same game, 8 innings, 2 hits, no walks, no runs, no 12 strikeouts. He is a top 7 starting pitcher. Max Scherzer, he's number 2 in points, number 1 in Roto. He was amazing last night, 13 strikeouts and 7 scoreless at the Cubs. And John Lester has certainly rebounded. Great start against the Nationals, and in his last 6 starts, Lester has a 1.76 ERA and 37 strikeouts in 41 innings, but he has given up 6 home runs in those 6 starts. So we got Felix, Archer, Scherzer, and Lester. Obviously, Archer stands out here.
Yeah.
What do you guys want to talk about?
Yeah, Chris Archer. Well, yeah, Felix and Scherzer, obviously, great. Lester, the dead arm thing is behind him. He's great again. But yeah, Archer is the one that stands out here. And it sort of inspires me. Hopefully, I'll remember this in the offseason, to have maybe a separate breakout list, like the Chris Archer breakouts. Because when I look for breakout candidates, I look for players that have excelled at different parts of their skill set at different times in their major league career, usually younger players, of course, but not all at the same time. And so they could have, you know, what I would think of as a consolidation season. Archer, I don't think really fit that profile. So he didn't get on my radar as a breakout. But if you look at somebody like him, who as a minor leaguer looked like he could be this kind of pitcher at the major league level, but just always fell a little short. Mm-hmm. I mean, he, you know, now with 2020 hindsight, it's like, oh yeah, Chris Archer, he should have been a breakout candidate this year.
Right. So you're totally buying into it. Maybe not this good, but really good.
But really good, yeah.
I would agree. I mean, there's different tiers of breakouts. It's between Archer and Shelby Miller, who's the bigger breakout this year, but Archer went from already good to ace level, and Miller's gone from fringy to very good.
Yeah, and you know, I think sometimes we sort of forget or downplay his rookie season, which I thought was really promising. I'm talking about Miller now.
Oh, okay.
So to me, Miller, and I didn't have Miller pegged as a breakout either, and I probably should because he actually does fit more sort of my traditional mold of a breakout candidate, and he is breaking out.
You know, Archer is kind of hurting my argument against Syndergaard because I wanted to look at his repertoire. He's still pretty dominant with just two pitches. Four-seamer and a slider. Occasional changeup. Yesterday he threw the changeup 15% of the time, but that's the most he's thrown it all year. That surprises me. I thought this was a guy who was throwing his changeup more. It's really not the case.
I think it's when there's different kinds of fastballs. I mean, sinker versus a four-seamer.
Yeah, but he's not even throwing it. Last three starts, Archer has pretty much thrown just two pitches.
Yeah, you're right. And he hasn't thrown the sinker that much this year at all. And there is a third show me pitch though. I mean, you're right. It's heavily four seamer and slider, but I mean, because he's throwing the slider more this year, that's probably a good reason why the strikeouts are more consistent.
Yeah. I guess the slider has improved.
Yeah.
So that was studs being studs with an exclamation point. Here's studs being studs with a question mark. Are these guys studs? Michael Pineda bouncing back from two bad starts. With a good one against the Royals. Jeff Samardzija, he's picking it up a little bit. Carlos Carrasco, I know you guys thought he was underachieving, so he's been pretty good lately. And Alex Wood. This is, I'm guessing, his best start of the year. Last start was also 7 innings, 1 run with 2 walks, but only 1 strikeout at Miami. Last night, 6 strikeouts at the Dodgers. So Pineda, Samardzija, Carrasco, and Alex Wood. Are these guys studs?
I think the first three are. I'm not totally sold on Alex Wood yet. I'm certainly more encouraged now than I was 2 or 3 weeks ago. But, you know, Scott and I, we talked about this. I mean, this, you wouldn't think the Dodgers would pose a good matchup for any pitcher, but they haven't hit lefties that great. This looked like a good matchup for Wood. So it kind of turned out the way we thought it might.
I feel like he's been much better though. The swinging strikes. I've been consistently up in May, and his last 3 starts, quality starts, really good starts. One he didn't have the strikeouts for some reason, but the other two he did. So I'm buying into him being back. I don't think he's as good as Carrasco, Samardzija, or maybe even Pineda, but he is, other than Carrasco, he's the only relief pitcher eligible, one of the three, so I'd argue he's just as valuable. At least in points leagues.
Well, the fact that you still put him, if not in the same category, or at least close to Pineda, is pretty telling with Alex Wood. You had to think about that. And I think most people, despite the 2 bad starts before this one, most people think Pineda is probably on another level.
I guess. I mean, I feel like maybe I'm just defaulting back to where we were on these two coming into the seasons when Alex Wood was clearly the... You know, the standout in fantasy, and Pineda was...
No, I'm not disagreeing with you, Scott. I'm not criticizing. I'm just saying it's noteworthy that you still consider Wood and Pineda, you know, on the same level, where I think if you ask, just a guess, if you ask the general public fantasy baseball players, they probably think Pineda is a lot better than Alex Wood.
Yeah.
Just a guess.
Yeah, probably. And you know what? I had watched this start for Wood yesterday, and I hadn't watched him in a while. He's like one of the least impressive pitchers to watch.
Yeah.
He just doesn't look all that special, but he gets good results. So can't really complain, I guess. And that's probably why maybe Pineda's seen is so much better.
Let's go a little faster here. Finish off the show. Still streaking. These guys are still getting it done. Steve Pierce. He's got 3 hits in his last 17 at bats. They're all homers. He homered yesterday against the Astros. Chris Davis tripled twice against the Giants. That's Chris Davis with a K. 6 for his last 11 with 2 homers and 3 triples. 3 triples? 2 or 3. Cameron Maybin had a really good month, is having a good month of May. Maybin is 25% owned, Braves outfielder, 307, 402 on base, 453 slugging in
they
May.
They call it Maybin for a reason.
The month of Maybin. The month of Maybin should have been a section. Chris Colabello is batting 386. Ben Paulson for the Rockies is batting .353 right now. And Alex Guerrero homered and Jimmy Paredes had another good game and he stole home. Any names really stand out to you? I'll read them again. Steve Pierce, Chris Davis, Cameron Maben, Chris Colabello, Ben Paulson, Alex Guerrero, Jimmy Paredes.
A couple things stand out to me. Less Pierce's production than the fact that the Royals, not the Royals, the Orioles designated Alejandro De Haza for assignment yesterday. So he's out of the picture. And Steve Pierce was starting in the outfield. I kind of feel like they're preparing for Jonathan Scope coming back. Ryan Flaherty just came back. There's not a clear opening for Pierce there at second base anymore, so they're making an opening for him in the outfield, which is encouraging. That's one thing. The other thing, Cameron Maben, and this is just me kind of reacting off the cuff when I opened up his page here and looked at his numbers. It sounds kind of funny, but he's giving the Braves everything they thought they were getting from BJ Upton. 5 home runs, 6 steals, 361 on base percentage. And I don't think we should entirely ignore him in rotisserie leagues. He's only 28 years old. I believe in Kevin Seitzer as a hitting coach. I don't believe in many hitting coaches, but he's one of the two or three I do believe in. And I just feel like he's tapping into something that was there way back in the days when he was traded for Miguel Cabrera. And, could end up being a breakout season for him.
Well, Cameron,
I'm just thinking roto leagues right now.
Cameron Maben and Chris Colabello are owned in basically the same amount of leagues. Who do you like better?
Maben.
Yeah, me too.
Okay. And it looks like, hopefully, now Scott Van Slyke's been hurt, but hopefully Alex Guerrero and Justin Turner can both stay in the lineup until Puig and or Crawford get back and just fight it out, and one of them can win that job. Four-man rotation, we talked about Hughes, we talked about Syndergaard, we talked about Jimenez. So is anybody worried about Colin McHugh, who is giving up a lot of hits this year? 9.6 hits per nine. That's up from 6.8 hits per nine last year. And just not having a great year. 4.24 ERA for Colin McHugh.
I'm mildly concerned. Cause I would say up until pretty much about now, I've been good with him as a must start guy. But I think he's far enough off of last year's pace that nowhere close to dropping him, but would sit him more often.
In the bullpen, David Robertson. You know what, Scott? You should get a word in on McHugh since you love him. You hard.
I was just going to agree with him. The strikeouts have not been consistent. He has two starts where it was 9 or more, one where it was 7, and then the rest, which is the majority of his starts, 5 or fewer. And that's not the Colin McHugh I thought we were getting.
All right, now in the bullpen, David Robertson blew another save. I'm still assuming you guys don't care.
No, I mean, who's been immune to this? You know, all the great closers, Chapman, Kimbrel, Holland, Boxberger.
What about Andrew Miller, big man?
All right. He's
the best. It was Josh Donaldson both times, too.
It was, yeah. Glenn Perkins also. Glenn Perkins has 18 saves. I don't think he's blown any saves. But he leads baseball with 18 saves. Brad Ziegler had a rough night. Did you see the ending of that game?
I did not.
There was a slide at home plate. So the bases were loaded with one out, and the Cardinals were batting in a tie game. Ground ball to like short or third. I don't quite remember all the details. Play at the plate. They get the out, and then Jordan Pacheco goes to throw to first base. And whoever slid into home, he kind of hit Pacheco's leg with his slide, and Pacheco, as he's throwing the ball, gets hit in the leg, ball goes flying into the outfield, and that's how the Cardinals win. They won on a walk-off error, on what should have been a double play probably to end the inning and go to extras.
And as Pacheco hurt, I didn't say anything about him being...
No, he's okay. Ghost Witch got hurt, though.
Right, that's what I was going to say. That'd leave them... It'd be Salt Lamacchia time then.
Yeah, no, Ghost Witch hurt his knee and Pacheco replaced him. I think he's fine. He even said it wasn't a dirty play, but there is some debate about whether or not it was dirty. And that's just one thing I don't really like about baseball is this idea that you can just slide into people. You know, like at second base mostly, when guys go so far out of their way to slide, and if they're within an arm's length of the base or whatever the stupid rule is, they're allowed to make contact. And I just feel like it's dumb. And if you ground into a double play, that's your fault. You shouldn't be able to, you know, go out of your way to take people out. I don't think that's what happened last night. But in general, I just think that's such a strange rule in baseball.
Now, We're talking about Ghostwitch, right?
No, we're talking about Pacheco, but Ghostwitch did get hurt before this play.
Okay. I just think this is a good time to bring us something I'm writing about today in the waiver wire column. It's a young man by the name of Peter O'Brien, who has crushed it at AAA all year.
University of Miami.
Any catching, though?
And he's been catching recently.
Yeah.
And apparently, Chip Hale said something to the effect that he's looked good back there. Jared Saltalamacchia is also in the Diamondback system, but he's batting like 230 with a 600 OPS at AAA.
Yeah, but at least there's the defense. Never mind.
Exactly. I think we're very close to seeing O'Brien.
Oh, that's very interesting. Okay. Good stuff. And John Axford. I don't know how he's doing this, guys.
Yeah.
Do you feel like if you could sell John Axford to do it?
Yes, absolutely. And actually, I got a Twitter question yesterday asking Axford or the guy that's below him on your notes here, Brad Ziegler. And to me, it's a no-brainer. Ziegler, even though maybe, you know, Burgos, you know, contends for saves when he comes off the DL. But despite what happened with Ziegler last night, he's having a season so far that's kind of reminiscent of Zach Britton's season last year. That worked out okay.
One injury that I wanted to get to, not even an injury, but Raisel Iglesias is going to start Saturday against Washington. And Cueto is expected to be fine, should be back soon after. Before we get to DFS, let's do some emails really quickly here. Here's one from Tony. Dear Johnny, Yogi, and Carlton, and Peter O'Brien, I'm in a 10-team mixed points league, one catcher. I own Derek Norris and Yasmani Grandal, but Matt Wieters is available.
Mm.
Would you drop either of those guys to pick up Wieters or hold tight?
I would drop Norris.
Yeah, I can't disagree with that.
Do you think Caleb Joseph, though, has done enough to hurt both of their values when Wieters comes back, basically, by just getting more playing time?
I think Wieters will DH a lot.
Okay.
And so Joseph will get some playing time still, but then eventually they'll wean Wieters back into catching every day.
Rusty in Nebraska. Dear Funshine, Cher, and Grumpy. Are those Care Bears?
I think so. Cher Bear, Grumpy Bear, Funshine. I know there was a bear that had a sun on its
Yeah, that's
stomach.
Probably Funshine. With this, the day of Chris Heston's redemption, please explain what you see in him to keep Chris Heston at the SP 50 range. That's not a suntan lotion thing. That's number 50 starting pitcher. There are other guys on the waiver wire. I'd take over him. Chavez, Buchholz, etc. So, please, so tell me what you like about Chris Heston, essentially, is the question.
There's more here that I like. He says, I'm going to tell him I told you so if he doesn't pick him up. But he's, he's saying other guys on the waiver wire. One he mentions is Buchholz. And I could see going Buchholz over Heston because the upside is certainly far greater. Buchholz has reeled off four straight quality starts. And for a lot of pitchers, that would be a big deal. But for him, that's like a new benchmark of consistency, I think. And the peripherals have been outstanding all season long for Buchholz.
So you'd prefer Buchholz?
Yeah, I do.
What, even in a SPARP scenario?
I guess it would depend on roster construction. But if I had any kind of RP depth at all, I would still go Buchholz.
Here's why I like Heston. High ground ball rate, low walk rate.
Mm-hmm.
For a high ground ball rate, there's also a decent strikeout rate. So I think that's a combination that's going to lead to good things. Once he gets all the Colorado out of his system.
Yeah, and AT&T Park for half the starts, too. So I really do like Heston.
Yeah.
And again, I think there's an argument if you really need to fill that RP slot, your alternatives aren't that great. I would go Heston over Buchholz, but in probably any other situation, I would go Buchholz right now.
Ed in Ireland says, hi, Stuart, Kevin, and Bob. I thought this was a like Clerks reference or one of those movies, but it's actually the Minions. They're very cute, those Minions.
Yeah,
and
I guess.
Despicable Me is a good movie. I haven't seen all of it, but it's what I've seen is good. So,
second one wasn't bad.
Oh, okay, good.
Eh.
Good, well, I'll have to watch it. What's the question here? Oh, from Ed. So he's got Rizzo, Freeman, Duda, and Votto. He's pretty loaded at first base. Wants to know if he should trade Votto and Samardzija for Bumgarner.
Votto and Samardzija for Bumgarner.
Exactly.
it feels like just a little too much to give up. Like if you get another useful piece back, I would do it.
Yeah, I'm not down enough on. He's loaded at first base, so I get the context, but it's just I feel like the other person's taking advantage of that rather than you taking advantage of your excess at first base.
Next email. Oh, I'm sorry, dude. I forgot your name in here. This is a good email, though. You know who you are. He says, "Dear, dear janitor, scientist, and the guy on the couch."
Alrighty.
It's half baked. Half baked.
That's what?
Half baked.
Oh.
Yeah. I have Castro and Escobar at shortstop. Should I drop Escobar to pick up Correa in a 10-team standard scoring league?
Yes. 10-team league. You can definitely afford to do that.
P.S. Two notes. FanDuel Fantasy Baseball is just as fun as football, and that's tough to say almost, LOL, but really fun. And also, I was listening to the podcast the other day, and my girlfriend was in the car and heard your Trout, let it all out. We laughed, and she sang that Shout commercial or the Isley Brothers, "You know you make me want a trout." So it's catching on, people. And
all right.
Jeff Sentel.
Sweeping the nation.
Jeff Sentel wants to know who's going to get traded before the trade deadline in actual baseball.
Oh, well, since I've seen the future, I can tell you exactly who's going to get traded.
Seen Back to the Future, just the first one.
Just the first one?
Yeah.
Why stop there?
I mean, it's you know, lucky if I see any movies, so.
It's true.
But you should have been so motivated to see the next ones after the first and all its greatness that you just couldn't resist and then you watched them. You watched them because you couldn't resist.
I resisted.
Ah.
Cole Hamels.
Yeah. That was the first name that came to mind for me too. Jonathan Papelbon.
Maybe Jeff Samardzija.
Maybe. Scott Kazmir, if he recovers in time.
Bullpen guys, other than Papelbon?
Maybe the annual Joaquin Benoit.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Then again, Benoit. You know, the Padres, I mean, if they, they get in the race, I think he's a valuable piece even as an eighth inning guy. They may want to keep him.
They'll be in the race. I think the Padres will be in the race, yeah.
Let's do FanDuel.
You can tell we're super prepared for
this. I'm bored. Let's do FanDuel. Right.
No hitters. We couldn't come up with any hitters.
Hitters never get traded, Al.
Well, I mean, having seen the future, I can confirm that they don't.
There you go. Or it would have happened in Back to the Future Part 2. Oh, no, that was the past. So never
check
mind.
The Sports Almanac. Well, I wouldn't get that reference.
Yeah, Marlins Cubs, everybody. Or Miami Cubs. They didn't.
I get it just because it's out in the culture.
Okay. Yeah. Well, this podcast is struggling right now, so let's talk DFS. Not a lot of night games tonight, and it's kind of, I don't know if you guys have looked. There are five night games. I'm going Kluber. Kluber, Burnett, Shelby Miller, they are in a class of their own when you consider how important strikeouts are.
Exactly. Just start. Kluber. I mean, I could kind of understand a Buck Farmer throw a curveball in a tournament play, but I don't even think I'm going to do that.
And the thing with Farmer is I think he's the only pitcher in the night games that I'm saying, like, stack against. Stack Angels.
I disagree.
Okay.
And I had a very, very hard time finding a stack. I thought maybe Sabathia, but the A's cannot hit lefties.
Right.
But the same game,
yeah.
I'm going to stack Tigers against Wilson because the Tigers – clobber lefties.
Okay. Okay.
I mean,
yeah, actually,
okay
they have
righties, but
they have good numbers against CJ Wilson too. A lot of them do.
Yeah.
I also thought about righties against lefties against Graveman for the Yankees lefties, but I don't really know. You know, you could go with McCann, but like I wouldn't go with McCann because he's fairly expensive for a catcher and he never homers on the road. So here's my lineup: Kluber. Catcher, I found to be impossible. I don't want Posey against Shelby Miller for like 4,000, and I don't want Steven Vogt against the lefty Sabathia. So I went with Yan Gomes. I have Albert Pujols, David Freese, Buck Farmer is a lefty, so Freeze against a lefty is not a bad idea. And I have Eric Ibar. I have Pujols, Freeze, and Ibar stacking Angels. I have Kinsler. Norichika Aoki against Shelby Miller. He is 7 for 18 lifetime against Miller, and he's only 2,900. I have Brett Gardner, and I have Starling Marte. And I will be honest with you, I don't love it. But I think if you look at the... I don't think there are a lot of hitters tonight that you're going to love.
It's got to be better than last night, though, right?
I don't know.
One to stack against last night was Colemanter, and
but there's only five games tonight, you know.
Six.
There was four last night.
Oh, really? Okay, I didn't play the night slate last night. I played the full day slate.
But cool. Adam, I have bad news for you.
What's that?
Buck Farmer throws right-handed.
Oh, he does?
He bats left-handed. That's what threw you off? But yeah, he's a righty.
All right, then I'll probably have to get Freeze out of there.
Yeah.
Thank you for letting me know.
And yeah, these are all, this stinks. They're all 10 o'clock Eastern games. So for those of us on the East Coast, we're going to have to stack Red Sox and Rangers for the 8 o'clock game to like have any clue what's going on unless you're going to stay up till 1 in the morning.
So, listen, we'll have better advice for you at 6 p.m. Eastern on Daily Fantasy Live.
We save all the good stuff for then, right? Right now you hear the slop, so.
Well, I mean, it takes time to research this stuff. You know that.
Oh, I know that.
All right, I'm putting
it's
in Chase Headley.
Funny how we're apologizing for
it. I'm putting in Chase Headley for David Freeze. Cause Graveman's been horrible against lefties. I know he's coming off a good start, but that was against the Rays. They can't hit. Yankees hit the Royals pretty well. So hey, why not? Maybe the Yankees can score some runs tonight. I'm not so optimistic in that park, but we shall see. Alan Scott, thank you.
Adam, thank you.
Thank you, Adam. Enjoyed it. And talk to you again tomorrow.
Yeah.
Like I have every day this week.
Yeah. Scott loves being on the podcast. So they'll be back tomorrow. I'll be back tomorrow. We'll give you some week 9 advice.
Holy cow.
Yeah, wow. How about that? That's it. I'm going to stop talking now. Goodbye.